This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
I call the Joint Appropriations Committee to order. Well, let's get started with pages. We have a couple of new pages we'd like to get you introduced here. So come on up to an open microphone anywhere and tell us who you are, where you're from, and where you're going.
Hi, my name is Faith Hotelling. I'm from Doland, and this fall I will be attending Lake Area Tech for their agriculture program.
Outstanding.
Hi, my name is Hannah Weinheimer. I'm from Oneida, and this fall I'll be attending SDSU for their agriculture business.
Wonderful. All right, we have a couple of bills up today here in, what was that? Let's do roll call. Can we do roll call? If it wasn't for Barb, none of us would be knowing what we're doing. Roll call.
Representative Ollers.
Here.
Carson is excused. Howard.
Here.
Carr. Peterson. Lake.
Here.
Bartles.
Here.
Sutton.
Here.
Nessaba.
Here.
Cronin.
Here.
Partridge is excused. Peters.
Here.
Haverly.
Here.
White.
Here.
Hunhoff.
Here.
Wick.
Here.
Anderson. Tiedemann. We have a quorum.
Jared, or do you have somebody set already?
I had Cronin, but he's not here. Okay, thank you very much. Getting all kinds of instructions here. Going from every direction. It's awesome. All right, let's move up. The first thing on the agenda today is actually going to be pushed back. We're going to start with Senate Bill 162. We've already heard both proponent, opponent testimony. We've had committee discussions and questions. We've had a lot of debate with the people involved. And I believe now we are up to committee action on Senate Bill 162. Senator Peters.
Mr. Chair, move to table.
That's moved by Senator Peters, seconded by Senator White. There is no discussion, so we go immediately to a roll call vote.
Ollers.
No.
Carson's excused. Howard.
Aye.
Carr. Peterson.
Here.
No. Lake.
Aye.
Bartles.
Aye.
Sutton.
No.
Nessaba.
No.
Cronin. Partridge is excused. Peters?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
White?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Wick?
Aye.
Anderson's excused. Tiedemann's excused. Peterson?
Aye.
It's
10-3. 10-3. Senate Bill 162 is tabled. Next order of business today. What is the next one right here? Senate Bill 121, make an appropriation for the completion and upgrade of the South Dakota Public Safety Radio System and to declare an emergency. Senator Peters, you'd like to testify from your spot. That's just fine with me.
Thank you very much. Well, I'm just going to do a real quick soft pitch. This committee is very fully aware of the issues at hand with our state radio. I've been contacted by a variety of folks that are the users of the system and would highly encourage that the state continue working through the state radio process, coming up with a long-term strategic plan. Starting earlier rather than waiting is the preferable method, especially from a county like mine where they have dumped a ton of money, probably 15 to maybe even more millions of dollars to supplement the state radio system. And so we don't want to change directions midstream, but come up with a long-term funding mechanism. I've been told that there is a plan coming forward, and hopefully we will come up with the plan. Obviously, now that we don't have the cash to pay for this particular plan today, but hopefully with our long-term funding mechanism and a long-term plan, we will come up with a system that works for all parties involved within the state radio. So there's my soft pitch. I do know that there's some folks who would like to give you some more information about the state radio in town, and so I will stand by and let them testify for proponents and opponents. I know you're against it, so And I just want you all to know that we're fully aware, but most likely this bill is not going anywhere. Actually, I know it's probably not going anywhere because $3 million is just not in the cards right now. But it is something that we do need to be educated on. We need to know that the system needs to be upgraded, and we need to know that the system is used by a variety of different people and a variety of different counties, cities, and the state. So with that, I will stand down and let further proponent testimony happen, just so you are aware of all of the moving parts in this bill. So with that, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll stand by for further questions.
Thank you, Senator Peters. Any additional proponent testimony on Senate Bill 121? Additional proponents.
Thank you, Chairman and distinguished committee members. I am Dave Ackerman. I am the McPherson County Sheriff. I also have the privilege to serve as the South Dakota Sheriff's representative appointed to the South Dakota Public Safety Communications Council. South Dakota's 66 counties all have access to the state interoperable radio communication system to one degree or another. Some counties rely solely upon this system for all radio communication needs, while others operate and maintain their own system in addition to accessing the state radio system. Each county is unique in their own way, and we understand there is no such thing as one size fits all. However, this just may come as close as we can get regarding communications across the state. Understandably, there are still holes in the system needing to be filled. The costs per individual unit are more than what we would like to see, and access to tech and programmers are limited. With an upgrade to a Project 25 system, potentially these concerns can be addressed. Please allow me to explain what this system means to McPherson County. Prior to 2014, McPherson County did not have a state radio tower located within its boundaries. The closest towers were in Edmonds County just north of Bowdell and Brown County in the Aberdeen area. Needless to say, our ability to access the state radio system was limited at best. I used to joke that I had better results banging two rocks together. Truth be told, public safety communications is no joke. Through a collaborative effort, McPherson County State Radio Tower site was established in 2014. McPherson County provided the tower location and purchased additional land to accommodate for the tower and guy wires. In addition to the contributions from the state, one-time funds from Homeland Security were used to complete this project. Today, areas such as the Northwest Brown County corridor have seen significant radio coverage improvements, and the coverage increase in McPherson County is almost unimaginable. You may ask, how did you communicate prior to the addition of the McPherson County State Radio Tower site? The fact is, not very well. Everybody went their own direction, and each entity had their own communication system. Today, the Leoli Ambulance and the West McPherson County EMS are able to communicate with dispatch, who happens to be located in Mobridge, which is Walworth County. They also have the capabilities to communicate with hospitals virtually statewide or with an advanced life support intercept from Brown County. They can communicate with the Eureka, Leola, and Long Lake Fire Departments, a South Dakota Highway Patrol trooper, and the McPherson County Sheriff's Office. Imagine a motor vehicle crash with injuries, if you will. Then you can begin to realize the importance of a communication system in which all public safety entities have the ability to communicate with one another. Without the continued support and upgrade to this statewide system, I fear there is a possibility some may choose to revert back to an individual program. Not out of want, but out of necessity due to limited funds. As mentioned, the cost per unit is significant, especially, for example, the volunteer fire department, who may operate solely on donations or limited city contributions. All entities have a certain amount of buy-in in this system, especially when considering a radio replacement. If we choose not to upgrade the system to a P25 format, potentially a very significant portion of radios currently operating on this system shall be without support at the end of 2017. If that fire department chooses not to upgrade all its radios at this time, then they could possibly lose the ability to communicate with other entities. Interoperability will be lost. I'm confident this has been previously explained during the summer studies. The importance of a state radio interoperable communication system is not in question. I'm confident we all recognize its importance. What is in question is how to fund an expected system upgrade at an unexpected time and during a year with below expected revenues. Truly, I recognize the challenges. That said, I feel funding the upgrade of the state radio communication system is a matter of public safety, and I ask that you please consider supporting Senate Bill 121. Thank you.
And thank you, Sheriff. Any other proponents for Senate Bill 121? And I would like to remind everybody, proponents and opponents, make sure you've signed in outside or right up here. If you haven't signed in, please come up and do so. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairman. Stacy Ackerman, Executive Director for the South Dakota Sheriff's Association. If I may, I'd like to touch briefly on why this is important and what the local contributions have been to the state radio system. And if I may, I have some handouts with some preliminary data that I've collected.
Absolutely. Pages would be happy to help you with that.
Thank you.
And Pages, can you three-hole punch that, please? Thank you.
Since the statewide interoperable system has been implemented, counties and municipalities have invested over $19 million into equipment and infrastructure to support local operations. With the expansion of the system to the P25 upgrade, it will help open the market to competition. This will help decrease equipment costs due to the competition in the marketplace. While the state has maintained certain features of the system, you can see locals have invested heavily in the network as well. They do so because they understand the importance of the ability to communicate in a natural disaster or a public safety incident. From the tornado in Spencer, which prompted creation of the system, to the disasters we saw along the Missouri River with flooding, or tornadoes as recently as Delmont or Wessington Springs, the interoperable system has been a vital lifeline to our emergency responders. When it comes to public safety, we are able to utilize the system in Sturgis annually, as well as dangerous situations across the state, whether it be a standoff in Marion or Kimball, to a pursuit across rural South Dakota. Our law enforcement are able to communicate with each other. In the end, this helps protect all South Dakotans no matter where they live. What would happen if we didn't have the current system? Services and assistance would be delayed. South Dakota brought its system almost 20 years ago. Today, most states are trying to achieve what we have today. In North Dakota, when the protests broke out, communication among agencies responding was one of the obstacles they had to address right away. County X could not communicate with County Y because they didn't operate on the same system. Expand that out a little further across the country, and you may remember the two escaped murderers in New York State. I participated in a webinar this past year regarding the importance of a statewide interoperable system. A sheriff from New York State was advocating for just this type of system because during their search for these two fugitives, he received more details on potential sightings through his daughter's Twitter feed than before the information was relayed to them through their systems. One of our challenges in South Dakota is topography. When Governor Jankla built the system, he said, "Here is how much money we have. Build us the best system you can for this amount." Ever since then, we've been trying to make improvements to provide the best coverage possible. Today, we lack consistent coverage in an area about the total size of Custer County. Those areas with trouble spots are generally locations where they have hilly regions. In those locations, they may operate on the digital system for emergency situations and on analog systems for daily operations. Until we complete the process of additional towers for better coverage, we will see some local agencies operate both on the state and a local system. In conclusion, our counties and cities have spent over $19 million into the current system we are utilizing. We do so because we have seen firsthand the importance of having the ability to communicate with our fellow first responders, whether that be fire, ambulance, or law enforcement. And if I may, the data I handed out to you, we sent out this plea on Friday morning on a holiday weekend. So this is just preliminary estimates. I said, give me your lowest estimate you can, and we can put the figures together later. We respectfully ask for your support and continued support in years to come. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony for Senate Bill 121? Any further proponents, Senate Bill 121? Proponents, Senate Bill 121. Seeing none, any opponents for Senate Bill 121?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Kelsey Roth with the Bureau of Finance and Management. We do agree with the great importance of the state radio system. However, the state radio system can continue to operate without this upgrade through 2023. As radios reach the end of their useful life, they can be replaced with these P25-compatible radios, and the Bureau of Information and Telecommunications will work with state and local entities that use the state radio system to ensure that their radios are compatible, or their replacements over the next 6 years will be compatible with both the current and future systems. So with that, I'd ask you to oppose this bill, and I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Ms. Roth. Any further opponent testimony for Senate Bill 121? Opponent testimony for Senate Bill 121. One more time. Opponent, Senate Bill 121. Seeing none, Senator Peters, I would offer you a rebuttal.
Thank you very much. While I know that this is a highly and extremely important issue, if you look at the entire funding of state government, there's one thing that we must do, and public safety is the must. That's why I brought the bill. We are fully aware of the disagreements between the different agencies and the kerfluffle that happened in the spring. And so with that, I guess my big thing is we need to work through the differences. We need to come up with this long-term strategic plan. We need to come up with a funding mechanism that will support the state radio and make sure it's viable prior to the system no longer working. We've got a lot of different things happening. We're looking at potential flooding in the spring. We're looking at a variety of different things. And these state radios help alleviate disasters because of the communication that we have in the state. So with that, I'd highly encourage all of the agencies to take part, to come up with a long-term strategic plan, keep us up to date in the Appropriations Committee, keep the sheriffs updated because they're the number one users along with the volunteer fire departments, et cetera. Keep everybody in the loop as far as what the plans are and the timeframes of that plan. And hopefully we can find the money within the next couple of years to figure this out because this is a must-do situation that we are being faced with. So with that, I'll close.
And thank you, Senator Peters. With that, we are closing public testimony for Senate Bill 121 and moving to committee questions. Only questions at this time. Any questions? Senator Nesiba.
Mr. Chair, this might be for the good senator from Hartford, or it might be for Ms. Roth. I just like clarification. We were told at an earlier hearing that there was going to be a need for radios to be upgraded. If they were going to be upgraded, then that process needed to begin before the end of this calendar year. And I just want to know that that's false.
Senator Peters, you want to answer that, or?
It's my understanding that counties and cities and municipals are not just up. When they upgrade systems or upgrade radios, the cities are doing it on their own. That's what the sheet is that was handed out. So Sioux Falls and Minnehaha County, for example, has spent over $12.5 million on equipment to build upon the state radio system. So the state radio system, the way I look at it in Minnehaha County, is the basic. And because they needed more towers and more coverage and more radios than what the state paid for, they dumped more additional resources in to the system. That's what those numbers represent. So as the software becomes out of date, the equipment's going to have to be updated as well. The counties are going to have to spend the money too, but we have to do it in tandem. It has to be a huge across the board review of a system and a process. It can't just be the state all by itself making a decision. They need to communicate with all parties involved and all users because all users are funding it too.
No further questions, or you have a follow-up?
Just to follow up, so are there going to be counties across the state that are going to end up with radios that are non-upgradable if we don't take action in a positive way today?
Anybody want to answer that one? Is there anybody that can answer that one?
We'll call on the sheriff.
All right. Phone a friend for Sheriff Ackerman, please.
This might be better deferred to Jeff Pierce, but to answer that question, yes, it's my understanding that by the end of 2017, certain models of certain radios that are currently on this system will be out of service. It doesn't mean that they will stop working, but they will not be upgradable to the P25 format after the end of this year, is how it has been explained to me.
All right. That answer your question?
Yes, unfortunately.
All right. Any further committee questions? Representative Hunoff.
Thank you. For the lady that provided this document, is that the entire participation of county and city, or just what you could get for a response?
Chairman?
Absolutely.
Just what I sent it out Friday morning, and that is what we had as of 6 a.m. this morning for replies back, considering it was a holiday weekend.
Follow up.
Thank you. And I don't know who the question goes to. And I think the good senator from Hartford was talking about this, but over the course of years, everybody's got different systems. And in my part of the country, they're on a different system. So I guess as you're working on this, how do we have the assurance that the parties are coming together? Because every time somebody comes in, a new party comes in and says, well, I'm using something else, or somebody else comes in. And I guess in this whole global picture, over the course of the years, we find out that somebody hasn't participated because they don't like the system or they have something better. Where is the assurances that the parties come together if the taxpayer is being asked to pony up and provide the resources?
Chairman, if I may try to tackle that. This was something I learned through this process. And as I mentioned, topography plays a big role in this. Everybody has access to the statewide interoperable system. Some may choose to still operate like Yankton County. The city of Yankton is one of those areas where they also operate on an analog system because topography creates challenges for them solely going to the state interoperable system. But during an emergency, what would be done is probably your car-to-car traffic on the analog, or when they had to communicate something of importance that everybody should know, someone would be able to put that out through the state interoperable digital system, if that makes sense.
All right. Any further committee questions? No further committee questions, then we open it up to committee questions and or action on Senate Bill 121. Senator Cronin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd move to table Senate Bill 121.
Second.
Moved by Senator Cronin, seconded by Senator White. Again, no debate on a table motion. Roll call vote, please.
Ahlers.
No.
Carson is excused. Howard.
Aye.
Carr.
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Lake?
Aye.
Bartles?
Aye.
Sutton?
No.
Nessebar?
No.
Cronin?
Aye.
Partridge is excused. Peters?
No.
Haverly?
Aye.
White?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Wick?
Aye.
Anderson and Tiedemann are excused. It's 10-4.
By a vote of 10-4, Senate Bill 121 moves to the table. We have a few other bills on our schedule for today, and we are going to defer action on those. I would entertain a motion. Senator Peters moves to adjourn. Exactly. Very good. Senator Nessebar seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
That lacked enthusiasm. All opposed? We are adjourned.